Chapter 7. Zara. I wake to the sound of wagon wheels grinding. My eyelids flutter open, revealing a dimly lit wooden cell. My hands are bound tightly together with rope, and a painful lump has swelled on the back of my head, causing an excruciating headache. To my side, Owen lies on the floor, his wrists bound in a similar fashion. The jostling movements indicate that we're in some sort of a carriage, the interior reeking of moldy straw. The only light coming in is from a small window on the far wall, fitted with thick steel bars. Groggily shaking my head, I push myself to my feet, staggering over to the window. Outside I can see the shapes of trees in the gray light of day, their leafless limbs like skeletal fingers clawing from the sides of the road. I can also make out the nickering sound of horses, as well as the noise of clopping hooves. A prison wagon, I think, settling back down on the dirty floor. My legs feel wobbly even after a minute of standing. The memories come rushing back, along with the painful feeling of helplessness and betrayal. Baris dead, pierced by many crossbow bolts. Xander fell with his throat slit. And then there was the leering visage of the king and the promise of retribution. I reach my hand to my chest, remembering that they'd taken my talisman, and grimace at the memory of being clubbed on the back of the head. Where are they taking us? What horrors does the king have planned for us? Owen stirs from his place on the floor, groaning softly. I shuffle over to him, laying his head on my lap. Owen, I whisper, gently stroking his head. Are you all right? The back of his head is crusty with dried blood.
Ugh, he groans, opening his eyes a crack. What happened?
We're prisoners, I reply in a small voice. King Æthelgar has captured us and we're being transported somewhere.
That coward, he replies vengefully as he winces. He's worse than the R'hllar. At least they're honest about wanting to destroy the world.
I chew my lower lip, gazing down at him with worry. He looks to be in even worse pain than I am. Owen, I'm so sorry. I led us into this mess. I was so sure that the High Magus would be there. Now, well, I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this one. He reaches up and takes hold of my hand, his calloused fingers giving mine a squeeze.
There's nothing to be sorry about, he replies gently. You couldn't have known what would happen. It isn't your fault. You didn't make this decision. We were all deceived.
Tears well up in my eyes, and I forcibly blink them away. The thought of being tortured by that monster while the world crumbles down around us is almost too much for me to bear. Leaning down, I kiss Owen gently on his dry lips, then settle back against the bumping wall of the carriage. We fall into a morose silence, still holding each other's hands, while the prison cart rolls on. At some point, we stop, the wheels grinding to a halt as rough voices sound from outside. Someone suddenly pulls open the door on the back of the carriage, causing the pale light of late afternoon to come pouring in. Blinking against the sudden brightness, I make out the unshaven face of a soldier leering back at me.
"Looks like they're still alive," he calls gruffly to his fellows, "though they seem a little worse for wear."
Behind him I can hear the derisive laughter of other soldiers.
"Here,"
he says after a moment, unceremoniously tossing in a half-empty water skin.
"Drink that. Wouldn't want you dying from thirst on the way there."
I hesitantly reach forward, picking up the leather container.
"Where are you taking us?"
Owen tries to ask loudly, his voice raspy from disuse. Again the soldiers burst into laughter.
"Oh,"
the one in the doorway replies with an amused smirk.
"You'll find out soon enough. If I were you, I'd make my peace with the light while I still have time."
He slams the door, leaving us once again in relative darkness. Before long,
The carriage lurches forward and continues carrying us to our unknown destination. We sit in silence for quite some time, lost in our own thoughts, as we hold each other close. Our clothing and hair still stink of smoke from the fire, and the enclosed space we sit in has an odd smell, like the unwashed bodies of the prisoners who came before us. The sun begins to set after a while, further shrouding us in darkness, and through the barred window I can see the flickering light of torches coming from the soldiers, their muffled voices too faint to understand. After an indeterminable amount of time, Owen shifts, stretching his back and letting out a grunt as he tries to get comfortable.
"Can I ask you something?"
he asks after a moment, eyes glittering in the wavering light.
"Of course," I reply, pushing aside my grim thoughts.
"When we first met, what did you think of me?"
The question surprises me.
"When we first met?"
He nods.
"I suppose I thought you were an uncultured bumpkin who was more accustomed to living in the forest than indoors."
He smiles faintly.
"Well, I'm glad I was able to change your mind."
"I wouldn't say that," I reply, smiling as well. "Though I suppose you do have some redeeming qualities." I nestle closer to him, resting my head against his shoulder.
"And what did you think of me when we first met?"
He chuckles.
"Honestly? I thought you were a spoiled rich girl from the city. I couldn't believe you didn't even know how to ride a horse."
I snort. "Proved you wrong, didn't I?"
"I don't know," he says. "You still seem a little spoiled to me. You fret over your outfits, and I've never seen someone pack so many things into their saddlebags. What do you actually put in there?"
I give him a look of mock outrage.
"There's nothing wrong with being prepared, Owen Lund. Besides, I only pack the essentials."
He quirks an eyebrow at me.
"And how are dozens of books essentials?"
I'm about to give him a witty response when a thought strikes me.
"My books," I think, imagining the wealth of knowledge I'd taken from the Conclave and Dunmar City. "They were on my horse, the one that fled from the church. I don't think I'll ever see them again."
Owen seems to realize that he struck a nerve. He puts his arms around me and holds me close, despite his hands being bound, and he gently strokes my hair as I lean once more against his shoulder.
"May I ask you another question?"
he whispers, sounding a bit more somber.
"You're not going to call me spoiled again, are you?"
I want to give him a grin, but I just can't muster one up. He shakes his head.
"Then ask away."
Hesitating for just a moment, he leans in closer.
"When did you first know that you loved me?"
This one takes me off guard. "Love you? What makes you think I love you?"
He considers this for a few seconds, then shrugs.
"Well, I love you, and I was hoping that the feeling was mutual."
I open my mouth to respond, but once again find myself at a loss for words. "You love me? And this is the first time I'm hearing about it?" But the more I consider it, the more it feels right. At this very moment, the two of us are being carted off to our deaths, while the fate of the world hangs in the balance. Not the most romantic of circumstances. However, sitting in this carriage, wrapped in his arms, I feel warm inside. There is no one else in all of Bihalia I would rather spend my last few hours with.
"Yes," I realize, feeling myself start to flush.
"I suppose I do love him."
"Remember when we met up in Tarsus, when the king called on us to go to Dunmar City, and you showed up at the conclave just as I was coming to find you?"
He nods. "I think that was when I first felt it. I'd come up with a dozen things I wanted to say to you, not all of them pleasant, but then you pulled me into your arms, and I completely forgot everything I was going to say.
It was like all those fights we'd had didn't matter. Owen smiles and nestles in closer to me. After a moment, I ask, "When did you first realize that you loved me?" He thinks for a moment, a faraway look entering his eyes. Then he replies, "I think it was back when you were being raised to become a full mage. After the ceremony, we looked at each other, and it was like we were the only two people in the room. That was when I knew there was something special between us, something I didn't want to lose." He looks down at me, his green eyes peering deeply into my own. Then, with no more words, he tenderly kisses me. It seems so strange to be having such an intimate moment while confined in a dingy prison cart, but for the barest instant, it feels like everything is right with the world. I forget about the pain in my head or the ropes rubbing my wrists raw. Instead, I focus on us, on the beautiful feeling ignited inside me. More time passes as we rest close to one another, and I find that my thoughts are much more pleasant than they were before. I think about the life we could have built together, the children we could have had, and instead of making me feel sad, they fill me with a sense of peace. This resigned sort of happiness is enough to carry me through the long hours of the night. Eventually, the carriage comes to another stop, and I hear a commotion outside as the soldiers dismount. Someone throws open the door again, and we are temporarily blinded by the orange light of dozens of torches.
"We've finally arrived," one of the soldiers says, sneering. "Your time is up."
He comes in, a looming shadow above us, and roughly pulls us by our bonds to exit the prison cart. When my eyes finally adjust, I find myself standing in the middle of the forest, surrounded by grim-looking soldiers, and surprisingly, a couple mages. Their blue robes stand out, even in the darkness. "Mages?" I think in confusion. "I don't recognize them. Why would mages be here?" Then, a sudden thought comes to me, filling me with a sense of immediate dread. Turning around, I can see a wall of light rising from the forest floor in the distance, the radiance giving off a soft glow. "Oh, light," I whisper, realization dawning on me.
"What?"
Owen turns around to follow my gaze, and his face immediately drops.
"That's the Ark," he says, sounding defeated. "They mean to exile us."
The soldiers around us snicker.
"Let's get on with it,"
the man holding our bonds says. Now I can see that his cloak bears the tasseled knots of a captain.
"No sense in waiting around."
He marches us over to the Ark, which looks strangely weak, like a spell that's about to fizzle out. Its swirling blue patterns are dimmer than they should be, and its thrumming energy sounds faint, almost weary. I have little time to consider this, however, as I can feel my pulse quickening. Exile. I start to feel sick. They're going to cast us out and let the demons destroy us. No one knows what lies in the wastes beyond our world. Some say that the air is toxic, poisonous vapors that can kill with only a single breath. Others say it's so hot that the sun can melt the flesh from your bones in seconds. One thing is certain. No one who has ever been exiled has been seen or heard from again. The mages come to either side of us, producing talismans from the folds of their robes. They glow with a soft blue light that mirrors the color of the Ark. Holding the crystals aloft, they fix their eyes on us, their expressions as somber as the grave.
"By order of His Majesty, King Aethelgar of Tarsinium," one of them intones, "you have been sentenced to exile to live out the remainder of your days in the wastes of the fallen world. Do either of you have any last words you wish to speak before the light?"
I don't reply, and Owen grunts, looking resigned.
"Let's get this over with," he mutters.
The mage eyes us sadly, then continues in a sonorous tone like a priest.
Death is but a single part of a longer journey, one that stretches on into the eternities. We pray that your end may come swiftly, and that your deaths may provide redemption for your heinous acts of treason. May the light in its infinite wisdom have mercy on your souls.
Both mages step toward the ark, lifting their talismans and pressing them against the wall of radiance. They utter words from a spell that I've never heard before. It sounds like a chant. The patterns shimmer and swirl, parting like water until a gaping hole appears in the ark itself, leading to nothing but blackness beyond. Behind us, the soldiers level crossbows at the hole, their tension filling the air. The captain pulls out his sword and approaches us from behind.
I wanted to thank you,
he whispers, leaning toward Owen and cutting his bindings.
This is a fine weapon. Maybe I'll use it to kill some nightingales.
Looking down, I can see that Owen's hatchet is now hanging from the soldier's belt. Owen grits his teeth, taking a single glance downward before staring straight ahead. He doesn't acknowledge the jibe, nor does he attempt to escape. Both of us know that he'd be feathered with crossbow bolts in an instant if he tried.
Good luck out there,
the vile man continues mockingly, moving on to cut my bindings as well.
I hear it's just lovely in the wastes.
Then using his sword like a cattle prod, he pushes the two of us forward, forcing us to walk toward the hole. I reach out and grasp Owen's hand, clenching it with a death-like grip. My heart begins to pound even harder in my chest, my breath coming in short, fast gasps. Oh, light, this is it, I think, stepping up to the awning. The point of no return. Slowly we walk through, stepping into the blackness as our feet crunch on dirt and stones. Then the hole closes, completely cutting us off, sealing us to our doom.